What are the new laws?
Well, the new laws now fall into line with married couples in so much as they're now under the Family Law Act. And once upon a time, what they were prior to the 1st of March, they were under the Property Relationships Act. And prior to that, it was called the De Facto Relationships Act. And the De Facto Relationships Act and the Property Relationships Act were, in fact, state legislation and had limited rights for de facto couples in relation to property settlement issues.
So what are the laws for de facto couples now, and what does it mean for couples?
Well, I guess primarily the big issue has been, well, in my opinion, there's been two big issues. One is, under the Family Law Act, married couples had what's called a future needs component in relation to settling property issues. And a classic example of that would be where a married couple, one person is working, one person is at home looking after the children and not working. The person that's working follows his or her career. They have a good earning potential and a good earning capacity, whereas the person that's at home looking after the children doesn't have that capacity and has primarily foregone the career path to look after the children. That's a classic example of what's a future needs component. And so there's been, under the Family Law Act, there's been adjustments for that, for future needs. But the de facto relationships legislation, the Property Relationships Act, didn't have that. And so that led to fairly unjust results at times. The other issue that is of significant importance, in my opinion, is that whilst they historically considered financial contributions and non-financial contributions when you were looking at adjustments for property settlement, historically what would happen is that the financial contributions seem to be given more weight, and under the Family Law Act for married couples that wasn't the case. And another big change is that under the Family Law Act for married couples, they have since December 2002 been able to split superannuation, and de facto couples have not been able to do that under the Property Relationships Act. The new legislation now allows them to do that as well.
Essentially, would it just be that de facto relationships and married relationships in the law's view are regarded as holding the same weight?
Virtually. If you were married the day that you were married, then, of course, you fall under the Family Law Act. And if you wanted to affect a property settlement, then from that day onwards, it would be assessed based on the contributions and the future needs. In relation to de facto couples, that's primarily the case, but you need to be living in a de facto relationship for 2 years in order to get relief under the new legislation. And that, in fact, falls in line as the same as the old legislation under the Property Relationships Act. You need to be living together for 2 years in a bona fide de facto relationship. There are two exceptions to that, and they are, if you have a child, then that is an exemption, so you don't have to have the two-year time limit. And also, if you were in the relationship and if you were not allowed to get in under the Act because you hadn't been together for 2 years, but you'd suffer significant hardship as a result of not being able to get in under the Act, then the courts would use their discretion and more than likely allow you to get in under the Act. So in the scheme of things, the legislation, other than that two-year time limit, really is very similar to that of married couples now.
So what's the actual definition for a de facto couple? Is it just the two-year time limit, or are there other factors taken into account?
There's a number of factors, Jackie, and they're all enshrined in the legislation in relation to, you know, that they have they're living together. They don't necessarily have to be in a sexual relationship, but that's part of it. There are a number of criteria that are set in the legislation as to what is a de facto relationship and what isn't a de facto relationship.
Does this include same-sex couples as well?
It does indeed.
And how much of a change is that from the previous laws?
Well, the Property Relationships Act did cover same-sex couples. And what happened was that same-sex couples... Well, the reason the legislation changed from the De Facto Relationships Act 1984 to the Property Relationships Act, which came into effect in 1999, was primarily because of same-sex couples. So that now falls in line with de facto couples and married couples, and so it's the same now.
Can de facto couples enter into the equivalent of what would be a prenuptial agreement?
They certainly can, and it's what they call financial agreements, and they're subject to the same rules as the family law binding financial agreements, and that's the same rules in section 90G. It needs to be signed off on by a solicitor giving independent advice in relation to the benefit or otherwise of the agreement. It also must have certain clauses, etc., in the agreement for it to be binding, so that it can't be undone at some later time because it hasn't complied with the legislation. So people can enter, and it's what we're experiencing at the present time, people can enter into financial agreements, provided it complies with the rules and Section 90G of the Family Law Act. They can bind themselves prior to entering into, during, or can enter into an agreement subsequent to separation, similar to the binding financial agreements under married couples.
How important is it that people actually understand these laws and understand that they even actually exist? I would assume that there's a lot of people out there in relationships that don't understand that these laws could affect them.
Well, that's what we've tried to do at Kells in relation to an education program, really. We've run a number of seminars over the last 2 months, enlightening people as to what the changes mean. They're fairly profound, although if you read some of the Sunday papers, they're really spruiking that they're more wide range than what the Act really says. It's a big change from what people were used to before, because what used to happen is that these matters were determined by primarily the district court, the state district court judges, and the state supreme court judges. Now, historically, the district court judges don't deal with these matters too often, and so this often led to perhaps different interpretations of the legislation, and because judges weren't dealing with these things as often, they'd have different ways that they'd interpret the legislation. To a lesser extent, the Supreme Court. But now that they're under the Family Law Act, they're dealt with by the Federal Magistrates Court or the Family Court, and the judges in those courts, of course, deal with this type of matter every day. And so it allows for, I think, more just results.